talking about cleaning things, and I must say I'm in two minds about this because it somehow feels wrong, you know, in very laid-back northern rivers to even worry about how you clean such and such a thing. But when things go wrong, it is quite distressing because it's your home. Yeah. And often people do stuff up not because they're idiots or they don't care, it's because they just don't know.
Absolutely. Look, coming from the other side of the fence where I have been house sitters in homes that are probably more luxurious than ours, for example, I don't hesitate to ask in advance, how did you get that bench like that? Like, how do you get that shine? Or, you know, what do you use on your beautiful wooden floors? Or, you know, or I mimic, you know, I see what products they've got. I see what utensils, like what sort of mops. But I certainly don't hesitate to ask how they actually keep their homes.
And on that, I've seen the advice on some house mining websites that a lot of owners will leave baskets, or as you've said, they will leave all the cleaning products that they want people to use there, so people don't have to guess.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think it's a really good idea. And as you say, of course, there does feel a bit of a contradiction. Here we are in this laid-back paradise. But I think still there's a certain emotion involved when it comes to your home. And I think, you know, before I mentioned about, you know, I try and leave the space very minimalist, very zen-like, but I think there's a certain level, like if you set the bar high when you leave your house, and so it's like probably cleaner than you would normally have it, and extremely neat and extremely, extremely clean, I find people try and match that. Whereas if I slip a bit and I leave it half done, I find then the level that I come back to kind of matches that or is lower.
That makes a lot of sense. I think I've probably done the same sort of thing myself in various spaces. And on that, I have found, because we do love to rent flats when traveling, and sometimes this whole instruction thing, some people do take it far too far, and the leaving cleaning materials. Like, there is the fine medium between decorating with cleaning materials and leaving whole Bibles full of instructions and making it easy for the person who's in the space.
I really like that idea that you got from the website where you could leave a basket of, you know, these are the products that I use and this sort of sponge and whatever, because visually and, you know, it's just an easier way than ploughing through pages and pages of instructions, which I think tends to make people a little bit resentful.
Now, let's touch on a couple of differences between preparing for a renter and preparing, we're talking holiday renters really, and preparing for a house minder. You say that with renters you feel that you need to be more on call and there to deal with problems.
Absolutely. I feel that included in the fee that they pay for the house, included in that, there should be some kind of management component. So generally we are on call, and therefore if there's a major appliance breakdown, for example, one time our dishwasher broke down, so we were able to replace it within 48 hours. And in the meantime, we just suggested leave your dishes in the laundry sink, you know, leave them in the laundry tub, you know, you can throw them into the new one when it gets here. So I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for people, because I feel like they're paying good money to have a holiday, to have a stress-free holiday. The other side of the coin is if you have a house sitter, and often we might have a house sitter because we are out of the country. For a rental, we try and stay close by. House sitting, we may be the other side of the world. So I think there's got to be a good level of communication between the house sitter. And if you're not able to keep in touch or in communication, then there should be some sort of support network. So your best friend is your backup, for example. So they are free to call that person and say, oh my God, I've just flooded the laundry. What do I do? And I think that's a really nice touch to have.
And on the other side of it, I think it's really important to use that support network to call a friend if you have a problem. And if the friend's not available, neighbours, I know you always let neighbours know whenever you have if someone's staying. So there usually will be someone who can answer your question.
Yeah, exactly. So things about, you know, what happens in the neighbourhood, such as what's garbage night, we put it on our single sheet of instructions. But if they haven't read that, then it's really nice that they can ask one of the neighbours, oh, by the way, when do these bins go out? In terms of differences between, say, a renter and a house sitter and how I would prepare, again, I think it comes back to that list of instructions. So your house sitter gets a longer list probably, and your house sitter is more likely to read that list. I think the house sitter, there's a feeling of more responsibility, that the house sitter is actually taking much more responsibility than the renter. The renter is paying to have a non-responsibility experience. The house sitter is having access to your home. You know, they might be having a beach holiday, for example. So there's a win-win. They're getting a lot of benefit from having your house with no money involved. So therefore, they provide an energy that's kind of an energy exchange. So they're taking much more care of your house than would a paying renter.
You can do some research online, and there is, because house mining has become such a popular thing to do, also a popular way to travel, you can find a lot of information about different ways that people handle all this. And some people even ask for a bond from their house miners, which doesn't usually happen here, I don't think.
Not that I'm aware of. I've never come across it myself personally. Obviously, there's a bond involved when you're renting the house. And again, I think it comes down to that attitude of someone's paying a good rental fee, so therefore they're less likely to be responsible. But the bond does hold them responsible for any major damage, and also to the extent of any extra cleaning. So we say in the contract, for example, the house needs to be left in the same state that it was found. And therefore, if it's not, there can be an extra cleaning fee charged. But in terms of house sitters, no, it's pretty much a verbal agreement, and there's not the bond that's charged.
What sort of fee do you recommend as a bond?
Look, it depends on how much the fee is per week. Obviously, high season, the fees are more. It depends also on how many people are going to be in the house. But I recommend anything from 30 to 50% of what you're charging per week.
And do you think that just having a bond there and the possibility of extra cleaning fees means that you're much less likely to have a problem in the first place?
I do. Yes, I do.